The first scripture reading this morning is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 4, and then 19 through 22. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They are all gathered together. They come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried in their nurses' arms. The sun shall no longer be your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light to you by night. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, or your moon withdraw itself. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. Your people shall all be righteous. They shall possess the land forever. They are the shoot that I planted, the work of my hands, so that I might be glorified. The least of them shall become a clan, and the smallest one a mighty nation. I am the Lord. In its time, I will accomplish it quickly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Matthew in the 5th chapter. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything, but is thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A city built on a hill cannot be hid. People do not light a lamp and put it under the bushel basket. Rather, they put it on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. This is the word of the Lord. So I'm going to do something that I love doing. Everybody thinks it's a little nutsy, but I love it. I said, let's pretend that we live in a world that is a perfect universe without the restriction of time and space and money, energy, vision. Let us dream a big, extra large dream. Let's imagine that this year may possibly be the best year that any of us has ever had. Now, I realize that that's going to seem somewhat flippant to some of you. Some of you are facing obstacles in your lives, like mountains that you aren't sure you're going to be able to climb. But notice I did not say that this might be the easiest year. It just might be the best year you've ever had. Value cannot be measured all of the time, or even most of the time, by such things as culturally validated accomplishment, or the accumulation of status and wealth, or how you are feeling on any given day. If next year finds us closer to God and to others, our families, our friends, if we find that we value more highly those things which are really most important in life, if we value more deeply the gift of simply being alive, it'll have been a great year, regardless of our circumstances. So let's take some time and explore the possibilities for a rich and rewarding year. In our scripture passage from Isaiah, Isaiah is trying to persuade his people to rise and shine like the sun, because he said that the light of the Lord was shining on them. I wonder how many who heard Isaiah's words responded with, "What complete nonsense! How can I shine?" The years dealing with the pandemic have just worn me out. I'm old and tired, and I've lost too many loved ones. Or I'm young, and no one will give me a chance. And besides, I don't see any sign of God's deliverance in this time and place. And perhaps there's some people here or online watching that might be feeling the same way. You doubt it can be a great year. You're too old for fantasies or too cynical for fairy tales of better days to come. You, like perhaps many in Isaiah's audience, see no evidence of God's deliverance. If so, let me offer you some reasons why deliverance may be at hand and why this year may be the best year we've ever had for some time. First, we need to remember that we know who we are. Simple but profound. One of Isaiah's primary tasks was to remind the people of God who they were. They were no ordinary run-of-the-mill outfit. They were God's chosen people, set aside to be the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We need to be reminded sometimes that we are God's people, the ones Jesus Christ came for, lived for, died for, and reigns for. We belong to the best family in town, God's family. Now, when I grew up in the 60s and 70s, there were advantages to being a Rockefeller or a Kennedy, and it's true that membership in some prominent families gives you some advantages in life. But it is the greatest blessing to know that you are a member of God's family. Or as one poet put it, "I may be young, I may be old, but I am someone because I am God's child. I may be educated, I may be unlettered, but I am someone because I am God's child. I may be married, divorced, or widowed, single, but I am somebody because I am God's child. I may be successful, I may be a failure, but I am somebody because I'm God's child. I may be a sinner, I may be a saint, but I am somebody because I am God's child." We might not have all there is to have or know all there is to know, but we have God's hand upon us. And we need to really understand that we belong to God. We know who or whose we are. Second, we know where we are going. Isaiah wanted his people to know where they were going, so he painted a picture of a peaceful and prosperous time, a picture that described how the world would look when it turned to God's chosen people for guidance and inspiration. Yet another reason for us to speak up and share the way of Jesus Christ, even when we don't mention his name, such as you might turn to someone, a grandchild or something. It's tempting to ridicule someone who doesn't share your beliefs. But it's not the way of love and peace. There you are. You're sharing your faith. And, it's not that offensive, is it? It's just a gentle reminder. We need to take care of each other. Isaiah understood the power of vision. If he could help his people see what they could be, they could claim the vision as their own and start moving toward it and the realization of the vision and bring others along with them. That is basically what evangelism is. Not knocking on doors, just saying, there is a more excellent way. Come on, come with me. We'll figure it out together. Here's a secret of life. People who arrive are those who know where they are going. Some people, some groups, spend all their time first going down one road and then another. They wander in no particular direction, and then they wonder why they never get anything done or never arrive. People of God, I will tell you something I believe to be true. My opinion, not prophecy. We are a church with a wonderful history and story. A history of caring for people in our church and outside it. We consistently look out for the people of the church and even their family and friends. We sweep up in our compassion. We have people who respond when someone is in need. We look beyond the boundary of our property to those who are hungry, discriminated against, and in need. We are a church with an exciting story. You know, there are so many churches that have a theology that tells the people in the church how God loves them and how God hates entire categories of people. When I introduce people and they know I'm a pastor, I'm saying, yeah, I'm from the church that says God loves you, not the one that says God loves you, but not you, 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 you. Young people who do not have this view of people in little boxes are turning away from Christianity in droves because of this. Their best friend comes from Korea. Another is gay. Another is biracial. And they cannot imagine stepping foot in a church that does not welcome their friends, or at worst, hates them. We are the church that they are looking for. The church that is inclusive, affirming, and welcoming to all people. People are looking for the beloved community that Martin Luther King and many others spoke of. We just need to get people's attention and tell them what we know about God's welcoming love. So many churches are downsizing and saying to the young folks, well, sorry, we just can't afford the youth director anymore. They are saying to those who come to worship, well, I hope you can sing well because we don't have enough people to have a choir. And they're saying to their older members, well, I hope you have family nearby because we don't have enough people who want to go out and take care of others in our church, let alone anywhere else. In short, a lot of churches are pulling in and a lot of ministry is not being done because they don't have the leadership or the membership participation to do it. UPB will grow in vitality as long as we stay committed to moving forward. We will continue to make a very real impact in the lives of many people if we stay involved and participate. And that impact of that ministry will go on like a pebble dropped in water for years and years beyond when we're still around. Let me give an example of it. Charles Schulz had this philosophy. It was based on this. He said, I want you to tell me the last five people that won the Heisman Trophy. I'd like you to tell me the last five people that won the Best Actor and Actresses. I want you to tell me the five most wealthy people in the world. Now I want you to tell me, give me the names of a couple people who were teachers, coaches, mentors that made a big difference in your life. Give me the names of a couple people who really helped you out when you were down and out. Give me the name of some people who you could call and have called when you really needed help. You see, the people we remember are the people who show love, the people who stand up for justice, the people who love us. So many churches are struggling to pay the bills and are therefore inward focused. They believe that they are the mission. But when they realize that the mission is anyone who is struggling in mind, body, or spirit, or feels that they are less than, have been told that, whether it's a member who has lost a loved one or a child with special needs, whether it's someone searching for God or someone who has lost a job, or a family dealing with violence and hunger half a world away, a church that focuses on reflecting God's love both inside and outside the church will surely be blessed. Even that is a blessing to others. There are no super duper programs like large churches, needed. Love and justice do not need a program. They need a willingness to do God's will where you are. Sort of a bloom where planted. Finally, we need to know who is going with us. Isaiah understood that any glory that came to the people was the reflected glory of God. Their hope was in God and God alone, and so it is with us. I'd like to tell you a once upon a time story. So once upon a time, a young boy in a native tribe was 10 years old, and he was taken way out to survive in the woods all by himself for a couple days. He was left alone with just his knife and his wits. Can you imagine how frightening that would be? The final night of the ordeal was terrifying. But he was required to remain silent with only his little knife for protection. And there were this rustling here and a rustling there. And the next morning, he was delighted to discover two things: his own courage and resolve, and the fact that his father had been nearby watching over him all through the night. I hope that many of us will discover something like that during any long and difficult nights this year. Our heavenly parent is watching over us all through the night, and God and our church family will be with us as we journey into the future. I'm excited for the upcoming year, and I am thankful for the people who work on behalf of Christ's message and mission, both as elected leaders and as those who step up in all sorts of ways when needed. And I know we can do great things together. And we can do it because we know who we are. We are God's people. And we are going to work out together what God's vision is for us in this time and place. And we know that God is going along with us. So weigh the anchor, pull in the gangplank, full steam ahead. This quite possibly is our finest year. Amen.